I'm so glad you said that, because as you were talking about that, I thought, you know what? This is a great beer to have in the morning.
Yeah.
This is
waffle, Belgian waffles with syrup and salty, meaty bacon on the side.
Pints and Pairings is brought to you in part by We're Driving and The Beer Cave. Learn more about our sponsors at hopheadshead.com/pintsandpairings.
Hello and welcome to Pints and Pairings. I'm Curtis Taylor, also known as Hophead Said.
And I'm Jason with Everybody's Hungry.
Go ahead.
I don't need my last name this time.
No,
we're
you
just
don't.
Flowing because we've had a great evening tonight with Kevin
That's
Rhodes
funny.
Of Groundswell Brewing Company. We've got one more beer to taste, but this segment is actually not focused on this beer. It's just a great add-on. It's a value add to what we're going to talk about. And Curtis, we've gone through three of the beers offered by Groundswell. Kevin, you brought up a really nice array, in my opinion, of what you have to offer in the brewing facility down in San Diego. It gives us a nice overview of the different flavor, focuses you're trying to achieve, the food aspects that you're trying to pair with. We've got a little bit of tropical half, and one of the questions that came from the staff is what makes it tropical? What are the fruits in this?
It's Galaxy hops.
Galaxy hops.
It's just straight on hops, huh?
Yeah, yep. It's a dry hopped half.
But what's good. Awesome
it's
is
a little bit lighter than our normal half in the wheat side.
Okay. Okay.
But then we dry hop it, and we've got Galaxy, and we don't hop it a lot, so there's not a ton of bitterness, but there is that tropical fruit. We're really, right now we fell in love with Galaxy like a whole bunch
it
of other
It fits with
brewers.
Its name then, because they thought there was some kind of fruit added into it, so there's enough complexity in the flavor.
No fruit.
And let me just take this moment to reference back to the White IPA show, where we talked a little bit about hops and in the beauty that is a hop and what it can do to the beer. So go back and listen to the White IPA show episode. You'll find out kind of the philosophy of hops or where they're used and the flavors that you can find out of it. I'm coming through tasting it, it doesn't seem as German hef as I guess I was expecting with a German brewer. Is talk about the yeast strain, I guess. I mean, it's for me, maybe because it's cold and it was cold when I tasted it. It seems a little less on the banana-y side. I mean, there's still
it's starting
this,
to come out a little
underlying.
Bit as it warms. There's a little banana, a little coconut as it warms, but there's also a more Hawaiian tropic focus for me, both cold and as it's warming.
Maybe a little pineapple.
Yeah, and a little papaya, maybe a little soft sweetness. Do you? What's your take on this beer from your brewers?
Well, a couple of things are going on. We didn't use any fruit in it. It's really all of it comes from the hops. And as you two alluded to earlier, it's all about when you use the hops, not using them early and not hopping it and getting bitterness, but just using it on that dry hop end gives you a lot of that aroma. So, and that's really what we did. We backed off the wheat a little bit, so it's not as much of a typical Bavarian hef like the Bavarian hef we do have. And we do like the Bavarian style because it brings out more fruit. It's got much more interesting things than American wheat. Tends to be more on the dry side.
Okay.
And so we went for the Bavarian. And we have a local German man who comes in probably 5 days a week and absolutely will not drink anything but the Bavarian half. So that's our, you know, pat on the back that we're doing
Excellent.
The right thing.
I like that.
So with this, we pulled out that dry hop. We wanted to bring out those tropical fruit aromas and just a little bit something different, a little bit lighter than that hef. But what you just talked about, Curtis, was the yeast strain we use in this is it's a hef 4 yeast from White Labs, and we experimented with hef 1, typical hef, which really pulled it to that big banana side. This yeast really pulls it more back into the center, and you get more clove. And you kind of have a balance between that clove and banana.
I think especially
and then the tropical on top.
For me, while we're talking, especially with the summertime direction that we've got going on right now, it speaks to a great barbecue chicken and coleslaw kind of realm. Getting some crisp, bright, herbaceous notes of a coleslaw, a little tang in the sauce, and again, that sweet minerally protein aspect of a barbecue chicken. I think this is just a great cleanser, but also there should be a marrying of some of those flavors with those tropical notes you're talking about.
I think I might go fried chicken as well with that. And, you know, it's something about the sweetness and the clove spice adding something to that fried chicken batter, just a plain batter, not putting anything else, say the peppers or the other spices that you're putting into that, that you might put in the batter. Letting the clove spices kind of add that flavor into the mix as well. Maybe a little bit of lemon, if you were going to do pepper, maybe some lemon pepper along with that, so that you get that, just that little bit of tart tang, which would kind of hint back to the hops that we have here.
True to your
trifecta of noise.
There it is.
What's awesome is, Curtis, you called that earlier on tonight before we started any broadcast. You said we're going to have some kind of ambulance noise, and we had it twice. I want to shift gears, though, again, not to really distract or detract from this beer, but there is a couple things on your website, Kevin, that caught my eye, and one of them ties back to this discussion we're having of community impact, and it's the Groundswell Water Initiative program.
Okay.
You were giving me kind of the heads up ahead of time that it's not entirely about water conservation. It's not necessarily about conserving water in this drought-riddled state of California that we live in, but it's about, again, giving back to the community and abroad. Can you give us some more detail? Give us the nitty-gritty of what the Water Initiative is about.
Water's important no matter how you look at it. Some places would have a little bit more than others. Right now in Southern California, we tend to have a little bit less than a lot of other people, and so that's important to us. But what we looked at is beer is about 90% water, and we're really fortunate in the United States, and especially in Southern California, that we can go someplace and have a beer, a really good beer, for $4, $5, $6 anytime we want. We can afford it, and it's readily available. But there's still people in the world that are walking miles to get a glass of water or to get gallons of water just to wash their hands or to do anything. So we have paired up with Project Concern International, and we kind of look at it almost like a third excise tax, the state, the Fed, although we don't regret or
you're not trying to disparage the process,
right? We're not disappointed
when
we have to write that check.
Right.
We're much more happy about writing a check to them to help them with their cause. They're out helping people learn about sanitation and getting water to people who need it. I heard somewhere recently that the average American uses about 100 gallons of water a day, and there's a lot of people in the world that use 3. Mm-hmm. And so we just thought, you know, it's a simple thing. And the way we look at it is, come in the brewery, have a beer, and you're doing charity just sitting in your bar stool.
Sure.
Love it.
We want it to be that easy. And so.
And a lot of causes, I think, are moving that direction, where it's engagement and impact with minimal effort. And I think people respond to that. One of the things I want to direct into, though, is this philosophy. Because I think, as you alluded to, your particular initiative and your partnership isn't about conserving water in the brewery necessarily and reducing the amount of water. But are you seeing in an industry discussion or an industry focus that breweries are starting to take water more seriously, whether it be for providing safe water in other parts of the world or conserving water locally? Are you seeing water come to the forefront as a concern and something to take into account in the cycle?
Absolutely. I see breweries that are moving that direction. Ballast Point, for example, just recently moved from the high 7-gallon range per gallon of beer that they were making down into in the mid, like 5.4 gallon range per gallon of beer. And so the bigger brewers are doing it not only financially, but they know it's right. And so they're doing it because it's kind of cool when it helps you financially and it's the right thing. And so that's caused a lot of conversation between all the breweries. And in fact, I'm fortunate enough to have a sister-in-law that works for the Water Authority in San Diego. And she has friends at MWD. And I've had a chance to talk to them, and both of those agencies are on board. And so there's a whole bunch of people that are starting to get involved and say, let's help the breweries minimize water usage so that that helps the drought. And so it's definitely happening. And I will also add that breweries are kind of on the low end compared to like Coca-Cola or soda companies, even people who are growing fruit. We tend to be on the lower end as it is in the use of water, but we still want to minimize that as much as we can.
I think that's interesting, Curtis. You're a home brewer, and you know Kevin is as well, but you know firsthand how much water it takes to produce a gallon of beer at a homebrew level. To hear that it's still a minimal amount of water in comparison to other industries is kind of surprising to me. When you think about what I've seen personally going into a kettle and what's coming out of the faucet, what do you have an opinion or what is your kind of observation about the direction the industry is going in relation to water?
Well, just recently I've been doing a lot of brewing, and I've been, because of the water shortage and everything else, I've been really concerned about how much I've been using. And I use in the neighborhood of about 40 gallons of water to produce 12 gallons of beer. And so, you know, that's on the cool, and most of that is just on the cooling side. And you know what? And that's just cooling my beer down. Right. And that's not the well. So then, if I add that, you're looking at another 55 gallons of water, because I'm usually filling up my boil kettle again with 10 to 15 gallons of hot water to clean everything and make sure everything's sanitized before I put it away. So let's call it 50 gallons of water for 12 gallons of beer. I've been recollecting my cooling water into my earthquake prep 7-gallon water bins, you know, and then I go and I water everything, and I rinse down my car, so I'm getting these double uses out of it. So
absolutely.
I've only just really become concerned and even cognizant about how much water I'm actually using, and I was kind of shocked by how much I was. It's incredibly important. You look at some of New Belgium, for instance. I referenced them a little earlier about, you know, Fat Tire, which isn't one of my favorite beers. But when it comes to water reclamation and the amount of water use and their efficiency, it's incredible what that place does in order to reclaim the water, the methane, and how little water they use in the boiling process in a unique boiling method as opposed to
it raises
heating
a good
up
question
300
for
gallons.
Me too, though, Kevin, going back to groundswell, what is... How does that affect your recipes? How does that affect the approach that your brewers take to each batch? Like, if you want to reduce your amount of water usage, or you want to be cognizant of that, what do they do? What kind of tweaks can they make?
Well, I mean, you have to be aware of not just turning on your heat exchanger full blast and just letting the water run off. You got to get it to a nice place where you slow the beer down so that the beer going through, or the wort at that point going through the heat exchanger, is meeting the water, and you keep that water down. You take that kind of water and you do recirculate it into tanks and use it for cleaning. There's lots of things you can do, and it's just really kind of directing the water where you want it instead of letting it flow down the drain.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Or where you need it.
Again, this is another one of those topics I think we could go off for quite a long time. I appreciate the perspective, because it was, like I said, it just caught my eye on your website. Not many breweries that I'm affiliated with or know at this point are really making that a front-runner focus and discussion of their philosophy. I do want to make sure our listeners know how to get a hold of you, but also what's coming down the pipe. So give us some perspective about what's next for Groundswell. What are we going to see? Especially, I mean, we're in Ventura County right now. These people can't get your beer except for tonight here at Barrel House 101.
Right.
What does the horizon look for you? Look like
well,
for you?
Well, we are in the midst of trying to find some capacity to brew a little bit more so that we can get beer out further places. And we're even looking for, you know, some of the bigger brewers up in this area or Los Angeles or Orange County to brew so that we can actually get our beer out into these areas. I mean, we would love to come up here and you know, have our beer available. We are talking to someone right now, actively talking to the bank and contractors about going up to a 15 to 20 barrel brew house behind us.
Okay.
So that's a definite possibility. But it definitely, it's about growth. It amazes me that we're ahead of our plan at 9 months. We've only been open 9 months. Our anniversary is the 3rd of November. I had two or three people tell me in the business that as soon as you open, you have one mission: find the next piece of equipment. And I laughed at them and said, that is way overly optimistic. And now I understand.
Right.
It really is kind of that way. Mm-hmm. More kegs, another tank, next brew house, more location.
So whatever
you're
bringing in right now, profit-wise, without, you know, getting too deep into your own architecture, you're reinvesting at this
yes.
point.
We are making money and in the brewery. However, that money goes right back into assets, kegs, tanks, whatever it is we might need. So, you know, from the standpoint of is there lots of money being pulled out and we're all living the life and going to Vegas in limos? No.
Not
we investing in a brewery to get bigger and hopefully get our beer out more places? Yes, that's what's
okay.
happening.
Well, I don't know about you, Curtis, but we've got a little bit of time before one of our sponsors, We're Driving, picks you up and gets you and your car home safely after tonight's great broadcast. And we've got some beers we want to share with Kevin just off air and just hang out. Not to mention the fact that we seem to be separating a little bit and the camera angle's missing out on some of the beautiful conversations.
No, sorry.
No, no apologies. I just think it's a cue and it's an omen to say that we need to wrap up tonight's Pints and Pairings broadcast and right. just hang out with you, Kevin, because we've enjoyed
I
your
would
company.
Love that.
Yeah, and so make
I've
sure
enjoyed hanging out this way.
Make sure you go to groundswellbrew.com. You can find all the social media links there. You can follow them throughout whatever you're doing. Instagram, they've got it. Facebook, they've got it. My phone is buzzing on the table. I can feel it.
Boom, good timing. And you can always follow our conversation and get involved with the conversation at hashtag Pints and Pairings, hashtag Beer Suggestioneers, because, again, we're not the expert, but we'd like to suggest some great things for you to try. Also, give us a like on the Facebook page. We're looking to build our follower base. That thing that we're talking about where a lot of people get together and they voice their opinions.
Yep.
Do that. Give us a like. And we're going to have some cool contests coming up. I may or may not know an individual who has a bottle of West Letter and 12 yeah. and a tasting glass to go with it that may or may not show up on the Facebook page for a contest soon. So stay tuned. It's hard to get a hold of, and I know a bottle that could be out there yeah. for your taking.
Very good. Where is that bottle?
In my closet. Oh.
All right, you may not have that bottle for very much longer. Now that I know where it's at.
I have no idea where you live.
So stay tuned. Enjoy Pints and Pairings. It's been a great night, and I'm happy to have you here tonight, Kevin. Thank you so much for making the drive from San Diego.
Thank you for inviting me. I really enjoyed it. I was happy to come up here. I hope I get invited again.
Oh, most yeah. definitely.
Definitely. All right, so, you know, let's close this out, and I'll just remind everyone listening, watching, whatever it is that you're doing, to eat, drink, and be hoppy.
We'll see you at the next pour.
Cheers.
Hi, I'm Curtis Taylor from Hophead Said.
And I'm Jason Hendrick from Everybody's Hungry. Whether it's a night out with friends or listening to the Pints and Pairings show, getting home safe requires some planning. We trust our vehicles and ride home to We're Driving, based in Oxnard, California.
Find out more about this designated driving service at weredriving.com. That's weredriving.com. If you're not in SoCal, find a trusted DD service in your area, and we'll see you at the next pour.
Cheers.